few weeks where we've looked at different subjects. Today I titled the message today, Predestination, Determinism, and Chance. Those don't seem to add up, do they? But they do. Biblically speaking, not theologically speaking, from certain theological viewpoints. They all work together in conjunction. We're going to start off today talking about the very Creator, who is God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be looking at Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. There are many misconceptions about doing the will or discerning the will of God out there. One of those things is the concept of determinism, where God, like a puppet master, has strings on every single thing in the world, including the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, people. He's determined every single thing that happens in this world. Well, we have something in the Bible called chance. Yes, that's a biblical term. It's thrown out oftentimes, but it is biblical. Here's a real theological argument that's made that God determines when you spit. So next time you roll down your car window and huck a loogie out that window, there are some that would say, God predestined you to do that. In other words, you can't do anything except through the will of God. That's a notion that's not found in Scripture whatsoever. That's why we have admonitions to trust the Lord, to believe the Lord. Well, you say, well, you can't believe unless you've been regenerated before you were born. To which I usually just scratch my head, because the same people would say you need to believe the gospel. But they would say the only reason you believed it was because you were regenerated in time past, sometime before the foundation of the world, or it might have been after the foundation of the world. We don't know. It might have been sublapsarianism when the fall of mankind took place before the world was created, or was after. These are theological arguments that are made out of thin air. However, once we do realize that it is God that does uphold everything by His power, but in us, He gave us, we can't find this term in the Bible, but we do have free will to choose what to believe, what not to believe. I exercised free will when I pulled out of a stop sign after waiting. That was my free will. I could have gone. I could have used my free will to pull out in front of a car. That's something that you have that happens. But let's start in Colossians chapter number 1. And, you know, I'd love to go right to verse number 1, but we're going to let's look at verse 14. In whom? Well, who's the whom? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's a blanket end of the road statement right there. It's in Jesus Christ. He is God. Right? Verse 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Now, if you don't go to the next couple verses, you'll take that meaning that Jesus was created, as a lot of the cults teach you. He's just an image. He is God in the flesh. When He came to the earth, He is God. So He's the image of God, the firstborn of every creature. Why? Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him Well, you know who the Creator is. It's God Himself. Jesus is God. So Jesus is God. By Him were all things created. Right? I love the next part of this verse. It's one I tend to stick to. Visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. That goes right from the very smallest strand of DNA and subatomic particle. He's made each of that. Man has done lots of crazy things with what God has created. He's created those thrones and principalities in heavenly places. He's created everything, the entire order of the earth. Let's look at the next verse. And He is before all things. He has the preeminence in all things. He is before all things, and by Him, all things consist. If it weren't for the work of God, we would be spinning out into everlasting darkness. It's the work of God that consists. It's Jesus Christ that gives us gravity. Aren't you glad gravity was created by God? Well, you're not thankful for gravity if you happen to fall off of a cliff. You're saying, I wish there weren't any gravity. But those are things that were created for God, by God and for Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about it. He's the Creator. But there are those that would argue the fact that God didn't create the world. We've all heard the different arguments. It was just the Big Bang. Well, who created the Big Bang? Life came out of the primordial swamp. Well, who created the swamp? Everything ends and begins with God as the Creator of all things. Did He create this building? Well, yes and no. He created the wood, the trees, and all the elements that came to it, but it was man that built the building. I forgot where I was going next. The reality is, yes, God is the Creator and sustainer of life and this world that we live in. I heard an interesting subject on the radio. It was talking about climate change. Climate change is a reality. Right? They've been talking about global warming. When I was in high school back in the 70s, there was global cooling. But they only have data from like 1940 or something like that. So were they around for the glaciers? They want to say that the world is billions and billions of years old, but those glaciers came, this whole area was covered. Right? You could see in areas the outcroppings of rocks, you could see the scrapings from when the glaciers retracted. Because they are there, it means that they didn't take billions of years to retract. There was a sudden warming that took place sometime where the scientists say, we don't know when it happened. Well, it can happen instantly. That's how it works. And he is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the glue that keeps the entire universe together. This whole world together. There are those that believe, again, when you take Scripture and put your own meanings to it, there are those that believe that they are little gods. We see that is still around today. They believe that you, because you're in the image of God, that you have the same powers of God where you can do creative miracles like God did. So there are those out there that claim these creative miracles. They claim that they can raise people from the dead. They can claim that they can grow new body parts. I heard an incident several years ago. Somebody claimed to have after she lost her toe, she grew her toe back. And they posted the before and after pictures. They looked the same. There was no toe that grew back. You know, once things set in, once you lose those body parts, you know, I'm thankful for prosthetics where people have help with that. That's it. There's no growing back. Once you start the aging process, oh, good old Ponce de Leon, In Search of the Fountain of Youth. There's no fountain of youth except for through one thing, through the rapture. When we have a new glorious body through Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at this thing here now that we got the basis that Jesus is God, Jesus is the Creator, and now we're going to look at the second part here is predestination. God has not determined every little thing in this world to take place. Ephesians chapter 1, I think you know where I'm going with this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath." I like that. I like that King James English there, that it's already been done. This is in the past. "Who hath blessed us with," how many spiritual blessings? "All spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Where's this in? So it's in heavenly places. Where what's in those heavenly places? In Christ Jesus. We've been accepted in the Beloved. We're seated in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. I almost spoke French. Verse 6. Yeah. Seated with Christ in those heavenly places. We have this already view where we're in heavenly places within Christ. We have those blessings that are given to us upon belief. "According as he hath chosen us." Now there are some that like to stop there. It says, you know, they'll add something to be one of his own, to be saved. They'll say that. And they'll repeat that over and over again. But if we read the scriptures, we can see, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." So we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world to be saved. Right? But look at the rest of this verse. It really clarifies it. "That we should be holy and without blame before him in love." I present to you that predestination has nothing to do with salvation. Predestination is for the people who have already been justified, been made righteous by God himself. He's predestined each believer to be holy and without blame. And you know what happened? When you believed the gospel, you became holy and without blame. Because Jesus paid the price for sin. Holy and without blame. He calls us also to grow in him. To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But, Peter writing at the time, looking at all the things happening in the world, he says, "But, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ." I think that's relevant even for today. Everything that's going on in the world, well, we got an election coming up, we got wars in Iran, wars around the world, but grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need that heavenly perspective that he has. So we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Look at this. having predestined us. There we go. He's predestined us to salvation. But look what it says. He's predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Romans 8. Let's go there for a second. Let's go over to Romans. I don't want to give too much of Romans chapter 8 away, but let's look at verse 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. That's a wonderful standalone verse. But look at that verse 29. From whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So this predestination is about you being conformed to Jesus Christ. Verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Take that as one package. All together, He's called us. I'm looking for the adoption verse. Where? I lost it here. Oh, right here. We're going to go backwards. Verse 22. It says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. I don't know about you, but I groan every morning getting out of bed in the morning. Every day, it's a task. All right, am I my feet going to make it to the floor today? It's a task. But look at the second part of this. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. To wit, or namely, we're going to tell you what the adoption is. Namely, the redemption of our body. That's what Paul's version of the adoption is. It's that redemption of the body. That's what's happening in Ephesians chapter 1 as well. The adoption. This is what you are predestined to. The believer is predestined after salvation to be glorified with God, right? To be blameless in Him, to be glorified in Him, and he's predestined to the redemption of the body. Now, I repeated this part over and over. So it doesn't matter if you've been justified or saved for 1 second or 1,000 years, and you were to, by chance, I'm going to use that word now, by chance, walk out the front door and a car runs you over as you're crossing West Main Street. Whether you've been saved for just seconds or years, you have the same adoption, the same predestination. Amen? Because it's all because of the faith of Christ. Let's go Let's go to another fun verse. Ecclesiastes. So wait a minute, I'm going to the Old Testament here. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. So long I've been back into using a paper Bible, now I get to turn pages. I forgot how much pages thick. They took it out of this Bible. Here we go. I found it finally. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I want to go down to verse 11. Now, one thing to understand about Ecclesiastes, it's a wonderful book. But if you try to look at it in terms of eternity, you'll be totally confused and messed up by it. Ecclesiastes, the key phrase in the entire book is under the sun. Right? In other words, it's about daily life and living here on earth. Right? Verse 11 says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. And this is the spot where a lot of people love to stop. They don't read the rest of the verse. I've seen countless of memes through the years, countless of sermons through the years that I've sat through, and just talking about how with God there's all this help, which is true. But let's look at the context, just, and it says it right here. But time and chance happeneth to them all. In other words, you might be strong, but there's a good chance you're not going to be strong for long. You may be swift. I remember there was a day in my life where I was pretty swift. Now I'm slower than a turtle. Why? Did God orchestrate that? No, time and chance happened to us all. Did you ever blame God for being stuck at a red light? God, you know I'm in a hurry. No, that's time and chance. You know, God does not ordain or predestine all these things in life. The example I always like to have is when I travel, I like to take a different route. I'm one of those, yes. I like to go a different way. My wife is one that she has to go the same way each time she goes, because if I turn another direction, she's like, where are you going? We're going to get there. We're predestined to get to an event for 7 p.m. What we do for that from that time that we are told we're going someplace to then hasn't been put in order. The destination has been put in order. Have we ever traveled and you have a travel itinerary? You're predestined to be at each of those stops at a certain time. What you do in your seat while you're on the plane or in the train or whatever you have, that has not been predestined at all. What's been predestined for us is the adoption, to be conformed to the image of His Son. So time and chance happeneth to all. I can quote the great prophet Curly Howard. I'm a victim of circumstances. Circumstances, time and chance take place. There are those that would disagree with that. Say everything has been specifically ordered by God. That makes God a liar. God only saves who He's elected to be saved, is the argument. Well, that's easy to keep them if He's only elected a few people to be saved. But if He desires the entire world to come to the knowledge of Christ, there's a problem. Because God is looked at as a failure. I've actually heard that before. The cross was a failure. It's amazing. It does happen. Because if the cross were true, If salvation were true, everybody would be saved. But God is a failure because not too many people get saved. God has given the choice for people to be saved. He's laid out the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is put out there. That's the gospel. The Philippian jailer asked, "Sirs, what must we do to be saved? Or what must I do to be saved?" The answer was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's still true today. Well, what about those that don't believe? Well, they've made that choice. They haven't been predestined not to believe. But yet, the God of this world, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, He's blinded people's eyes to the truth. Who is the God of this world? The prince of the power of the air. Satan. He's enticed everybody for something better in fleshly ideas. Better. Riches, glory, physical healings. All these things. But have taken their eyes off of what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished at Calvary. Amen. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 10. Let's start with verse 30. It says, "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." Not dead yet. "And by chance..." I used to get this question a lot of times. Said, "There's no such thing as chance in the Bible. What does this mean?" Because there's no such thing as chance in certain theological frameworks. I said, it means that by chance. That's what it means. Exactly. It's you don't need any kind of clarification from the Greek or the Hebrew. It just means by chance or accidentally. Oopsie. By chance, "there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." So God didn't plan for that priest to come walking over the hill and say, "Hey, I'm going to put you here." It's a narrative that says what happened by chance. And he saw him and he just disregarded anything happening. Let me just read down through verse 36. Or 37 rather. "And likewise, a Levite," and likewise that means by chance, the same way as this first guy came, the priest came, "and likewise by chance, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So the priest just looked at him from the distance. The Levite here, it looks like he came up to him and walked up to him to check it out, and he took off. "But," is that word, "a certain Samaritan." Ooh, a Samaritan. A dog. Uh-oh, I got to be careful because there are people that have gotten in trouble because of the Samaritan woman that came to Jesus, and she said that Jesus called her a dog because she was a Gentile. She was a mixed breed. "So the certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." So what Jesus is saying, the Levite and the priest, those were supposed to be the holy guys. Those are supposed to be the guys that are going to minister to this person. And it was that dog, the Samaritan, was the one that had compassion on him. But it was all by chance. You know, there's no record of God saying to the Levite, "Hey, buddy, at 12:03 p.m., you're going to walk down that street and there's going to be a Samaritan guy or an injured guy." That didn't happen. But God uses those situations of chance. I hate to admit this. I was delivering mail and I was looking ahead and I didn't realize somebody parked a car where they usually don't park a car. And I'm so glad that God stopped me from, but didn't. It was by chance. I should have been paying attention to what I was doing rather than having my head down paying attention to what I was doing there. Because you never know. That's why it's called chance. That's why when you drive today, we were talking about this yesterday, talking about how crazy over the last year people have become more impatient. I guess God ordained that too. But no, you have to pay attention. There's a lot more chance things that can happen when you don't pay attention. We have car insurance. Why? There's a chance we might get in an accident. All those different things. They're realities. One of the places, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 22. I love this verse. I think this has become one of my favorites among many. What did I say? Deuteronomy 22. Now, I love it. This is all part of the law, right? Deuteronomy chapter 22. Let me get the verse straight because I don't want to read the whole thing. 3, 4, 5. Verse 6. If a bird's nest chance... You get this part here? If a bird's nest chanced to be before thee in the way, in any tree or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting on the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young, but that thou shalt in any wise let the dam go and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. In other words, if you see this nest and it happens to fall out of a tree, or if it's in your way, don't mess with the dam. You might be saying, what's a dam? You got to think of the word, this is an old English word. Think of dame or damsel. A dam was referred to a mother animal. Unlike a mother human, called in its same word, but the mother animal. And there was a time specifically it was about the mother of four-legged animals. But this is a bird. I don't know of any birds that have four legs, but this is a bird. So this is the mother of the birds. That's what the dam is. Later became it became dame. Because it was spelled originally, dame was originally D-A-M-M-E was the spelling, and it got shortened to dam, you know, in the course of time. So that mother hen, that mother bird, or whatever it is, the law was that you did not mess with it, you know, take the young to thee that it may be well with you, right? So let the mother go and take care of the young. That was all part of the law. Aren't you glad we're not under the law? That there were actually laws regarding those things. But that's by chance. You ever run into a bird's nest by chance? In the street or anything like that? You know, I've been attacked by birds, you know, that make a nest above your door, you know, by chance. And
Good thing I didn't read these first because I took the whole nest and threw it in the woods. That would have been wrong according to the Mosaic law. But chance is a reality. It's a reality that time and chance happeneth to us all. Let's turn in closing. Already, imagine that. It said these topical things go fast. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to come full circle here. Full circle with Ecclesiastes 9. God indeed has the desire for all men. And that desire is that all men be saved. Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for who? For all men. I could on the fly here, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications be made for the swift and the strong. You see where I'm heading with this? The swift and the strong, the mighty. And giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings, again, the strong, the powerful, the mighty, those in positions of authority, those that have and not the have-nots. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's a great prayer. Not, I wish the president weren't around. We pray for those in leadership that they will come to the knowledge of the Lord. They will come to the knowledge of salvation and trust the Lord. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. I have my air quotes around it, the so-called universalist out there who believes that everybody is saved. They'll use this verse. He says, who will? Again, that's applying the wrong meaning to the word will here. It's like his desire is to have all men saved. But all men aren't saved unless they believe the gospel. But God still wants all to be saved. That's why he gave his son. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Whether they be high and mighty, no matter what. Those that think, I always just had a pastor that always said, those that they think they are, ain't. Right? It was pretty easy. No matter what, the high-minded, the high in estate, God's desire is for them to be saved. He will have all men to be saved. That's His will. Again, there are those that say God failed because all men aren't saved. That's so wrong. Verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. One mediator. Your money, can't buy you love. Uh-oh, that sounds like a song. Your stature can't buy salvation. There's not enough money that you can put in the till to buy salvation. Not enough good works. Mother Teresa couldn't even buy salvation. And she would get on the floor on broken glass and have her nuns do the same thing, to beat themselves up for salvation. There's not enough that you can even do in this life to warrant salvation, except for one thing, to trust the Lord. Verse number 6. Who gave himself a ransom for, everybody say the next word, for all. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Yes, I'll testify now. Jesus gave his life for the benefit of me. Amen? That's a good testament right there. That should be every believer's testimony. Jesus Christ died for me. That's it. I have nothing else to bring to the table except my sins. He took those away. He imputed our sin, or he took the credit for our sin, and he imputed to us his righteousness. Amen? That's been given to us. So now, no matter what chance, time and chance do in our lives now, we're complete in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's some good news. I still don't know why people aren't knocking down the doors and saying, let me see that Bible. It's got the answers for life and freedom. But instead, remain under the law. I already gave away the answer before. The God of this world has blinded their eyes to the truth. You know, I'm glad at the when my funeral takes place, there won't be a trailer behind the hearse with all my stuff. All my books. What's going to happen with those? They'll probably end up in a yard sale someplace. Who knows? But yet, we have the utmost in confidence in what Jesus Christ has done. So those that are higher ups, everybody needs to be saved. And that takes us back to Ecclesiastes 9. Those that think they is, isn't, or ain't, they need the Lord just the same. And you'd be surprised, or maybe not, how many people think that they're okay because they've achieved great things in this world. But yet, all that. Paul said all his upbringing he counts as dung for the excellency that's in Christ Jesus. Amen? So it's simple faith. Faith in what? Faith in Christ. And the faith of Christ to come and give his life on the cross of Calvary for us. Amen?